14th. It is 6 p.m., and Mr. Coxey, if you'll establish a quorum, please.
Mark Blackwell.
Here.
Rick Caudell.
Here.
Randall Cummings.
Here.
Ray Edwards.
Here.
Sarah Kleinfelder.
Here.
Sean Pingleton.
Here.
Frank Preston. Susan Martin.
Here.
And Carl Pride. Madam Chairman, we do have a quorum.
Yes, we do. Okay, and the meeting procedures for tonight's meeting?
This is the Taney County Planning Commission regular meeting procedures. The Taney County Planning Commission regular meeting is held for final approval on each Division III application presented at the previous Monday's public hearing and to hear new concept requests to be presented at next month's public hearing. Final votes will be heard first. Each project will be reviewed and decided upon by the commission. There are no sign-up sheets at this meeting as no additional public comments are taken unless expressly requested by the chairman or the commission. If you do not accept the decision of this commission, you may appeal to the Board of Adjustment. Applications for the Board of Adjustment are available in the planning office. Concepts will be heard following the final votes. If you are presenting a concept at this meeting, your name or the name of your project will be called. At that time, please come forward and address the commission. Your proposal will be heard and additional documentation may be requested for the public hearing next month. No public comment will be heard at this meeting with the exception of the applicant or persons with information requested by the commission. And as always, you may leave after your case has been heard.
Okay. First item on the agenda has to do with approval of the minutes from July 12th and July 19th. Assuming that you have all reviewed those minutes, would entertain a motion. Are there any corrections to those minutes before we move to approval?
Madam Chairman, I make a motion to approve the minutes.
Okay, and is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay. Motion to be made, or has been made, to approve the minutes of July 12th and July 19th. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Minutes are approved. First item on the agenda tonight, then, as far as final vote, is the shooting berm. And I notice you all are sitting in the front seat, and that's a good place for you to be. So that's fine. Ladies and gentlemen, again, on the commission, let's do just a quick review of the shooting berm and realizing again that last week there were many people here, and part of the people that were here are here typically because they do not understand what all is involved in the proposal. Did any of you go to the Saturday shindig that Mr. Sankey invited us all to? I went out with Eddie one day, and we saw the little pony and drove our way back to the shooting berm.
Because he made that presence known, and I did make sure I shut your gates and everything properly.
Right, okay. So,
Dog donkey?
Yeah.
Cute little donkey, okay. What Mr. Sankey is asking for, again, is to use his property, which consists of, and the total acreage on the property, again, was 24 acres, part of which would be used as a shooting berm for training, and what your application says is private target shooting, but now we've learned that this is done in conjunction with licensing and certifying people who are undergoing conceal and carry of firearms weaponry, that your request is for no more than 3 days of controlled shooting training on this property, 3 days per month, okay? Mr. Coxey and I talked because originally, I think when this concept came through, we were looking at it as a commercial and changing the zoning on it. Mm-hmm. And my suggestion is that we look at this as a special use project so that we do not carry the commercial label with your property, nor do we carry that commercial label if and when you were able or ever wanting to sell that property. So I would think that we, first of all, would modify it to a special use.
Also with a special use, though.
Yes, Mr. Sankey, what this means is basically for you, you would notice no difference or anything, with the exception that with a special use, the permit is particular to the person requesting it, which would be you,
and to the property where it's requested. So if you sold the property and moved off and somebody else came in there, they would come back.
Yeah, okay.
And if you moved off and started somewhere else, and that wasn't your property anymore, either one of those things changed, the location or the person, then that's gone.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. Okay. Thank you.
So, and what that does is then this property is not used to establish commercial compatibility with anything else in the area.
Okay.
So the neighbors that were afraid of the domino effect of it being commercial and then allowing compatibility, which has long been controversial in Taney County, would not be in effect. I think the commissioners may want to discuss any kind of constrictions that they would want to put on this.
I've got some questions.
And questions, okay.
Mm-hmm. Now?
Okay.
Go.
Go.
Okay. Mr. Sankey, probably you want to come to, because these are for you. I want to talk about the letter, but we're going to get to that later.
Yeah.
But I've just got questions about the use of it.
Okay.
But it kind of goes back to the letter a little bit. That's why I came to that. What we talked about was about 3 days a month is what you'd need, calendar month. What we're talking about here, mm-hmm. To do the shooting school, and really usually it's a two-day event, but you want to make sure if you have a rain day or something. That's the way I understood it. Is that correct?
Most of the classes are one day.
Okay.
But there's potentially future to bring in some money executives that may be more than one day long.
Okay. So the 3 days I get, but on top of that, I'm very interested at this point in regulate. If we're going to regulate this, I want to regulate the amount of shooting that's going to be done when it's not commercial.
That's what I tried to explain to my neighbors last week, that I would honor that. As a private citizen, I know I can shoot whenever I want out there. But I'm only exchange that for the 3 days a month. As a Christian, everything I did was with that in mind to honor my neighbors.
Okay, so my question is that exact thing. Then the 3 days would be enough, including the recreational shooting.
Yes.
That was actually my request.
I'm more than willing to honor that, yes.
Okay.
Okay, but can we look down the road? 3 days a month does not seem...
It seems light to me.
Yeah, yes. And I think that's what your question is asking. Are you sure
that
at some point next year you might be looking for 4 days or 5 days or 6 days?
Yeah, I wish we had that option, but I didn't know what our possibilities were to extend that, if that's a possibility.
Sean and I discussed
this. But if that's something that can
well,
be
now
done.
Now is the time to establish a maximum that you can live with.
And that we can live with.
I'm very open to suggestions on that, because you guys were very helpful in planning the concept part of it. This is all brand new for me.
Back to my question about the recreational part. I understand 2 days, it sounds like most of the time a month would be calendar month. And that's the only way I know how to do that, because otherwise you don't know which 30 days or 31 or 28.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
So calendar month. And I don't know how much you or your friends, or as your letter stated, the Boy Scouts or whoever you may have come out there, come and shoot. That how often that may be, but if I was a neighbor after this, I would make sure you adhere to it after
fair
I got
enough.
That letter.
Absolutely.
So, you know...
Could we target 3 to 5 days?
What I had initially written down was 4, just because I thought that would give 2 extra days for recreational shooting somewhere in there as a maximum. Now, that doesn't mean you need to go shoot 4 days, but I mean, that would give a couple of days to do that. Now that's just me. I don't know what the rest of the commission, how they feel about that. I had just made some notes when I was concerned, because I figured there would be some recreational shooting. I mean, you've got a 14-foot berm right there that's a pretty nice spot to shoot.
I shot more than that before that berm was up, just in a pile of dirt. So
when you think about this, and you think of a month, if he had one day per weekend, per month, that's 4. If he had to run 2 of them consecutively, you'd be talking 8.
Right.
And I'm not saying you're approving this, or you haven't taken that vote or anything like that, but you know, as I discussed a little bit with Sean today, I thought six would be more than plenty, you know, if you went that way. And that way, and then we talked about consecutive days also.
Yeah,
And which is something you might want to mention.
Right. You know, the other thing that I had a question about on days, and I'm, you know, again, I don't know how everybody else feels about this, but I'm stuck on four, but no more than two consecutive days.
Okay. The problem that you're going to face is that shooting in the ears of your neighbors is going to be shooting.
Yeah. No.
Now, is it possible that 6 days of shooting is going to be all you're wanting to do? In other words, the neighbors are going to know what our verdict is here tonight.
Yeah.
Okay. And they're going to be monitoring you like ducks on a June bug.
We do this a lot, so we kind of know how that goes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So the question is, they're not going to be able to discern whether or not it is recreational shooting or your business shooting or your training or whatever it happens to be.
Yeah, that's why.
We want a number that we can live with, that you can live with for all of your shooting.
Let's see. The executive classes, how many days were they?
Well, the executive course, that's actually 1.5 days.
Okay.
That's
two. So it's 2 days of shooting.
Well, one shot is a shooting day.
Well, the reason for bringing that up, that was the initial excitement for me to even pursue the project. Right now, there's nothing here in Taney County. We've got the landing and people fly into the Manson Airport. That was the whole thing, is bringing the executives in that have money to spend in Taney County. So, but if it's 2 days, then we're fine with that. That's great.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Are they shooting? You're saying a day and a half. Are they shooting both days, or are they just like first is like an evening where there's, you know, book knowledge or videos or whatever, and then they're not shooting. So,
it's first day for the executive course. The first day is all classroom.
Okay.
And then the second day is all day shoot, and then the next day is first half of the day is shooting, and then they have lunch and.
Okay, so it's really 2.5 days with 2 days of shooting.
But the classroom thing is not even out at the range.
I don't think.
Right, and that part.
I don't think you gentlemen are hearing us.
I understand.
A rose is a rose is a rose. Shooting is shooting is shooting. We don't care, and your neighbors don't care, whether or not it's your executive 1.5 day shooting, or whether it's the Boy Scouts coming out to shoot, or whether you're angry with your wife. Shooting is shooting is shooting. What we are giving you here is an opportunity to establish a maximum number of days that you can comfortably expand into and or live with.
Yes.
Okay?
I think what he said is 6 days would be...
Okay.
Would be very... If that's agreeable, 6 days would be fine. Again, we can tailor make it.
I think too many for me too.
But we're open to your suggestion. Okay. I'm totally good with that. If four is the magic number, we're going to work with it.
Well, and I don't know if it is. I really, you know, we'll see how that goes.
We're just in the middle. Five.
Or three.
It's not the middle.
Hey, we were just talking two, so we could
get one less. Okay.
We can make that down to one or not.
I think his original quest was three, was it not?
It was.
And although he's got a class that only takes two, that doesn't mean he's not going to run another class that month also.
Well, obviously there may be some recreational shooting in there, and I just want to make sure that you understood that as far as we're concerned and your neighbors are concerned, that's included in those shooting days.
And I'm okay with that.
So,
absolutely.
You know, that's why I wanted to know how often your plans were to recreational shoot. I probably get that the 2 days is probably for the classes, but I feel like two more days a month is plenty.
Okay.
Most of the time. That's me. I mean, the rest of
whoever makes the motion can make whatever.
Okay, so somebody can sit around and ponder 4 or 5 days as part of the motion, and when it comes to amending the decision of record.
Yeah.
Okay.
I do have
something. Okay.
Whatever the amount of days are that we could decide on, is there a possibility that you could send out, because you're going to know in advance, you're going to set these classes up in advance, is there a possibility that you could get the emails of the neighbors and send them out like next month's schedule so they know that, okay, I'm going to be hearing shots on this day and that day of the month. Is that something? How far in advance do you know on these schedules? I mean, you must have the class planned out in advance.
Most of Matt's are, but again, part of my deal was to try to work with people that were traveling, so it could be a relatively last-minute thing, you know, within a week or something. So.
Okay, well, let's say it was a last-minute thing. If you had the list of,
absolutely.
Had their emails, that's something you could send out?
Sure.
Yeah, the emails, obviously, we all know are simple enough. As long as you've got the email, just hit the button and send it out.
And that's a good neighborly
kind
of communication to let them know.
Yep, that makes sense.
Any hours that they won't be at the shooting range?
9 to 5 is what we present.
Maximum. Okay.
Usually the classes don't go quite that long.
But just that would be the maximum.
Okay. Any other discussion?
I've got a neighbor that shoots, and he does it Sunday mornings, bright and early. And since this is when they come out here as a business, my concern was the hours. Some people work late.
And you've heard them just say 9 to 5.
Okay, I did not. Mine was 10 to 4:30.
Yeah.
And then
on Sunday.
And no weekends. That was,
weekends.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's...
I think his business will probably cater a little bit more to weekend types. I don't know that.
But. And we did say no Sunday shooting.
Okay.
Ever.
Okay, so no Sunday. Okay.
And then 9 to 5 was the...
Great.
Okay, any other concerns? You know, because there aren't the traditional concerns that we have. And there's nothing that can be done about the quaintness of Sycamore Road Church Road, and the fact that it is what it is. And that's part of the
good thing is, I guess, a positive thing for Mr. Sankey is that his classes will be brought there in mass transportation instead of a lot of separate vehicles. Because originally this was going to, we were of the understanding it's going to be taught on site. And now this can be taught off-site and then brought there, so it should cut down on traffic quite a bit.
Okay.
And the other, as a side note, unfortunately, none of the neighbors have ever heard shooting on there since the range had been completed, meaning the walls, the height that you saw, and the mulch on the bottom, you know, foot of wooden walls, all of that was designed to absorb the sound factor as a courtesy. Mm-hmm. So, but, I mean, that's what it is, but they hadn't heard the shooting there with it like that.
Okay.
One more question.
Okay, yes, sir.
How much will that wall deteriorate, I mean, as far as height? So if there's a minimum height put on to 14 feet and it's 14 feet tall, that's not going to cause an issue.
Yeah, that was part of the thing where a lot of ranges, they just do a low pyramid 10 feet, then when they fall, they have to add 2 foot of lumber on top. That's why this is so wide, as you saw on top, and it was packed. Each layer was packed with that bulldozer, so it's not going to...
So if there was a minimum... height restriction on that of 13 feet, that wouldn't be an issue because it's 14 feet now.
I believe it is 14, yes.
Is that right?
It looked like it.
It looked better.
Just amazing.
It's more than two bonitas tall, I know that.
That's pretty tall.
Yeah, and it's all going to be planted with grass, clover, you know, deer-friendly clover inside and out. And then on top, as I can afford it, to put trees on top too, which will all solidify that.
Okay, my question there obviously goes back to just the, not that you would go then and tear it down, I don't expect that to happen, but to also another assurance of the neighbors is maintained
in
the decision of record. Okay.
What about the additional building? Wasn't there a request for an additional building?
Well, actually, that was put in at the board's suggestion for in the future. That's not something we're planning on doing right now. I have no vision.
That's
for
what
that.
I was saying. Originally, we thought. Okay. It's going to be an on-site classroom.
That's why I was concerned about. Why are we going to do that?
So there's no building.
No building.
Okay.
So at this point, he would come back and before us if they wanted to.
And I'm fine with that.
Sure.
Or you can have him prove it through our Division II process if you would rather do it that way and not have to hear it again.
Because it would just be for a classroom. It wouldn't be like an indoor shooting range or anything like that. Just if you were going to do it, it'd be a classroom.
Yeah, not at this time. There's no future vision for adding that.
Okay.
Okay, gentlemen, thank you.
Thanks,
Okay, members of the commission, discussion?
I did have one more question.
Okay.
It was brought up last week in regard to the lead poisoning from the ammo. Can you?
Yeah, interesting you brought that up. I just, 2 days ago, got an article that that's not even a valid consideration, that the history of that and checking it, that the clay and stuff that we have leaches that out anyway. But I did follow the NRA suggestions of using the mulch instead of the rock. And with 1 foot of that mulch, it way exceeds any even their recommendations. So the lead thing is pretty much a non-valid issue based on what I've read and studied. But we went the extra mile. Instead of doing a rock base, we did do the wood mulch.
Because I was just up at the shooting range.
Yeah, I have a well there.
And they don't seem to have anything special, you know,
yeah,
around
most,
the mound.
Most places don't. And, again, it's my home. That's why I researched it. We have a well. I'm definitely motivated, so.
Okay. Further discussion. And anybody ready to make a motion?
Did you have any comments you were going to make about the ladder?
After the motion.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I'll make a motion. I'll make a motion that we approve it for a special use permit with the following. You're already smiling, Benita. Restrictions or additions to the decision record. No shooting on Sunday. 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. The hours. Four days per calendar month to include recreational shooting is the maximum per month for shooting. I don't know how else. You can tell me when you're ready and I'll move on. I know you said 7, but I want to make sure, unless this is an issue, maximum of 10 yards firing distance. I do want to put a maximum in there just for a safety issue, but I think that'll cover you guys for anything you need to do. Maximum of 10 yards firing distance. And maximum of 3 additional vehicles on shooting days. I don't want to keep you from having a party. If you don't have a party on shooting days. And one more when you're ready.
Was that maximum of 3 vehicles on shooting days?
3 additional vehicles on
shooting additional. Days. 3 additional. Yeah. I don't want to include his personal vehicles and things like that, just additional vehicles for the classroom.
Okay, right. Okay.
And a minimum of 13-foot walls on the target area and both sides of the berm. Maintained.
Do we need to say anything about the cabin or the building that was part of the original proposal?
If you would want to say, you know, additional classroom as long as it meets Division II specs. I mean, you don't have to. We can make them, you can have him come back or whatever. Anything that was like an addition, if he was to come back in wanting to build an indoor shooting range, we're going to bring him back. But, you know, if you wanted to let him have a classroom on site at his discretion later on, then we could approve
it. I don't think we can do that with a special use permit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right?
I just don't remember. So we if he needs to come back, we can bring that back before you, and since he's got the approval, you make
any buildings to be built need to come back and see us.
Okay. Okay, is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay. Ms. Martin has seconded it. Okay, Benita, would you please read the motion?
Motion made for a special use permit with the following additions to the decision of record. No shooting on Sunday. Hours to be 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. 4 days per calendar month to include recreational shooting, maximum of 10 yards firing distance, maximum of 3 additional vehicles on shooting days, minimum of 13-foot walls on target area and berm, and buildings to be built to come before the Planning Commission.
Both sides of berm.
Both sides.
Uh-huh. Target area and both sides of berm. And
what did you say about the building? I thought
any additional buildings to come back before.
Okay. Okay.
And also, when you talked about the 4 days per calendar month, just in case we'd ever have to go back on this, shooting allowed needs to be the first part of that. Shooting allowed a maximum of 4 days per calendar month. 4 days per calendar month. Okay.
Okay.
Is that okay with you? Okay.
Any further discussion among the members of the commission?
Yeah.
Okay.
I want to mention the letter. it wasn't necessary. for us. It really has nothing to do with our decision.
Well, actually, it wasn't done for us.
Well, I know that. Mm-hmm. I know it wasn't done for us. I may be the only one, but probably not the only one. You know, whether we like the way something comes out or not, or something says, what we're trying to do here is just do what's best for Taney County, which, you know, if we can make something work for both even better. This is a personal thing. It's not, you know, but I'm just... I would say that at this point, after that it went out for the neighbors, you better follow what you do, because if you don't, they're going to let us know, especially after that letter.
Sure.
So probably that's my only thoughts on that. I want to make sure the neighbors know that your letter didn't make a difference on our decision one way or the other. Okay? At least for me. I don't know how we're going to vote yet. I didn't want to say that.
Can I ask a question on the email phone?
Why don't you wait? We have a motion on the table.
We didn't add that. We need to add that about the email prior to shooting so many days in advance. Well,
I don't know that. Do you want to make that a requirement?
No, I'm just making that a suggestion.
As a suggestion.
And I'm hoping that you follow with that, because.
Yeah.
There's no way for us to that.
I think that's just a communication thing. Right. Okay.
Before you vote.
Okay.
A lot of times at an outdoor range or something, you will have a pavilion or some kind of a shaded area. If you've been out on site there, you know, when you actually get out to the barn, there's no tree cover out there right now. That would be what I would call an incidental, you know, structure, not necessarily a building. I don't know if he needs anything like that or if they've thought about that.
I'd prefer to leave that to your discretion.
Okay. All right. That's one to make sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Are we sure on the motion now that we're about to vote on with all of its
I have one more
amendments.
Question.
Uh-huh.
I was going to ask it while I'm going up. What about restroom facilities?
I believe that's going to have to be porta potties, if I'm not mistaken.
Good question.
Yeah, that was the plan. I do have my personal office that is right there. You know, the first building that you come by when you came up the driveway has bathrooms in there, but my wife's not really excited about that. She's there, so we're going to do the porta-johns and everything be cleaned out every time afterwards, as far as the disposal of everything.
Thanks for thinking of that, Mr. Cummings. That's an important thing.
It was a big one.
Okay, we ready for the question? All those in favor of the motion made by Sean and seconded by Suzanne Martin, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Let's move on to item number 2, the Altom Construction Office. Hello, sir. How are you tonight?
How are you doing?
So you're waiting for us to approve the project again.
That's correct.
Before you do any of the kind of recommendation like the... what's the word? I don't even think of berm now, but now we're talking about a buffer. Buffer starts with a B. Okay. Okay. So we're looking about a fence. Okay. So questions for Mr. Altom. Okay.
I'm just full of questions tonight, aren't I?
It's your job.
Yeah, I know. What I had in mind was an 8-foot wooden fence, because there's really not any. But I don't want to include, when I first looked at that and I started writing that around the whole property, but I really don't want to include that piece that's on the other side of Blanzett Road. That doesn't make sense to me to put that fence over there. Does that make sense to you?
This one right here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. I'm just thinking that, you know, the piece that's west or north. West of Blanzett Road. I don't know how anybody
mostly
else feels.
Mostly to the north.
North and west.
Yeah.
North and west.
It's hard to tell when you go around that turn there which direction you're going.
The residential is predominantly on the north. And the thing that's on the due west of that is kind of a non-operating business right now that was a filling station / Mexican restaurant.
There's an RV park in there.
This here was the convenience store. It became a Mexican restaurant. And then go down the street here, then you have some. There was a cabinet shop here that's not operating right now. And then there's some homes down in here. Then around here you have a few homes also.
So this is really a question for the commissioners more than it is for you. So what you all were thinking was that that northeast property line.
I'm thinking that one.
From there to Blanzett?
And the one at the west, too, with the fuel tanks being in there.
That's what I thought. I mean, I honestly thought the front, too, to be honest with you.
I wouldn't want, you know, or even a house in there, so I wouldn't want to look down through that and see everything.
I believe we discussed at one time, when this was all finished out, that his equipment yard, he would want to have.
That's what I thought.
For safety concerns on his part. We had discussed a different kind of fencing, and I don't know that we had said it had to be a wood fence or anything. We talked about the chain link with the slats in it. I don't remember what was ever settled on, but I thought the chain link was probably a little more durable for his purposes, but that's not my call to make or anything. But I thought when we had discussed it once before,
okay.
But definitely had to have it on the one side there, but that he was...
I would honestly prefer to have it, you know... Are you doing anything in the timber
that's
on
that
side? No, that side building will go up in here.
Right, but it's just there's really no way to define that.
Do you, there's a site plan that has the fence on it all the way around it. I don't know if we still
but got it. But it doesn't go into the timber, though, does it?
No.
That one there.
I'm just thinking about a decision record. There's no way to define that. I'm fine with a... I don't. Do they make an 8-foot chain link fence? They do, sure.
Yeah, they do.
I mean, I don't. Mm-hmm. I think 6 foot's too short.
They make an eight.
Yeah. I don't like it. That's. I mean, I know it's 6 foot.
It's 8 foot with the barbed wire.
And now, what you got around your substation?
10 foot
barbed wire. 10 foot with barbed wire. We got 6 foot with 2 foot barbed wire.
Well, we're using this for site. I'd say 8 foot.
That's what I was saying for site, for site issues. As
well, it's site that you're concerned with for the residential people.
I'm okay with that. I'm okay with slats. I mean, that would
you're gonna have the slats on it.
Right? Yeah, that'd be okay.
You just want it to be.
That'd be less expensive,
privacy.
Probably. Yeah, well, it's just a privacy issue. And if chain link is easier, that's I'm okay with that as long as the slats are in it.
But you want 8 foot high.
Yep.
Yeah.
I guess my question to you is that doable?
Well, last year when we proposed it, it was going to be the 6 foot chain link fence with three strands of wire, and on that, the eastern residential boundary was going to have the what they call the windscreen, which you can't see through. That's what we was going to put on that residential boundary. That's what they call a 6+1, which is a 6 foot chain link fence, and then three strands of wire on the top. And then on that boundary, we would put the windscreen that you can't see through.
Three strands of barbed wire, is that what you're talking about when you say
Yeah.
Now, you, of course, have had the opportunity, the first time you heard this, you heard it as concept. You've had a little bit of an opportunity to kind of see how this would play out now, which is probably motivating you a little bit on your changes and requirements.
Right, it is.
But that's...
I'm okay with it on the residential side. That's fine on the blockers, but I really feel like it needs to be 8 foot tall on that side. I mean, where that heavy equipment's at.
With the on the one side with the residential, I'm just going to ask this question. I get the impression that perhaps the office building, of course, down the residential side where it adjoins, it would need the buffering, but the lot where the equipment's being stored, you would want that. Or do you want the whole office building and everything, the whole property?
You mean fenced? The whole property fenced?
Or is that where you were headed? Maybe I misunderstood what you were saying.
I don't know what I'm saying.
Well, I mean, you know he's going to have an equipment yard out there.
Yeah.
And there will be equipment sitting there occasionally. If that's something that you see as an eyesore and you want a fence, that's what I'm trying to decide.
My goal with the fence is twofold. It is one to keep people out, not just people that are trying to steal stuff, but kids or whatever. So I'm concerned about having the whole thing fenced. Now, my goal on the back side of that, or whatever side that is over there on the northeast side.
This is Blanzett Road on this.
Yeah, so go to the back that side. That side right there, I want to see 8 foot with slats in it to block that from the neighbors. The rest of it
we talked about light.
Would be a minimum of 6. If you want to jump down, that's fine. I don't care what you do on the rest of it, but I'd like to make sure that there's no access for kids to get in there. And you know, you don't want that either.
Right.
I mean, you know.
Well,
My concern with the fence is that it'd be the first thing that goes up.
Yeah.
People sit out there and looked at this mess for a year now, and nothing's been done except tore up the site that they have to look at.
Right.
And I want the fence done first thing that's developed.
Like 30 days?
30 days.
Decision.
I think we talked about that last week.
Now, when we say that, that's from our decision tonight, not from anything that he would file, or does he have so many days to come out? I don't want that. I want it to be from our decision. Is that possible?
Right, however you want it written.
Okay. Because don't they have so many days to come in?
He does have a 90-day window to
appeal
the decision.
Okay, I don't want that to end up being 120 days. When we make a decision.
Okay. Any further discussion?
Running of equipment, are you going to run anything from 11 p.m. to 5:30 a.m.?
No.
Okay. So that would be, if that was restricted to that, to not run equipment between 11 p.m. and 5:30 p.m., 5:30 a.m., that wouldn't be an issue?
No, not an issue. That, the only thing that would be happening there is between 8 and 5 would be
okay, that's what I figured. I just wanted to make, I didn't want you to, if you got a job, you got to leave early.
Leaving or coming into the yard, but not in the, not between 11 p.m. and 5 a.m. I think that's what we had in the
last. Is that what it was, 5 a.m.? Yeah. Okay. I couldn't remember. I knew we had something on there. I just couldn't remember what it was.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Altom. Are we ready, commissioners, to entertain a motion on this project?
Somebody else want to give a shot?
You're so good at doing the shot.
Yeah, she knows it when I do that. I'll make a motion that we approve the request with the following additions. Minimum of an 8-foot fence around the cleared yard. I don't know how else to put it than that. Does that make sense to you, Eddie? You know what I'm talking about?
You're talking
I don't
want
to say the whole property because I don't want to.
You're talking the equipment lot.
The equipment lot, around the equipment lot.
Uh-huh. We'll bring the site plan up.
And
does that show north? I mean, is that how it's set up on the site plan? Or.
Yeah, up is north on this.
Okay, on the. Okay.
With
so it's the northeast.
I'm getting ready to. So you want 8 foot here, Sean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But you also want the rest of the equipment.
I want the rest of the equipment yard fenced.
Well, but you told me it could drop to 6.
I'm sorry. Minimum of an 8-foot fence.
Along the rest.
With visual. I don't care whether it's wood or chain with slats. With visual blockers. On the residential side, which would be northeast length. And the rest of the lot, the rest of the yard, a minimum of a 6-foot fence.
But shouldn't we have that 8-foot go around on that cross up there on the north side?
Where the restaurant church.
Again, this right here is already, this is commercial.
That's already commercial, so that's.
And that's what I'm saying. If the office goes right there,
you guys are welcome to
I don't know if we were actually talking about fencing that.
It doesn't matter to me.
Because that's commercial, adjoining commercial. And this site here and this site here, so his are both, were commercial operations. It's not residential. So in the past when we discussed, we talked about it just being on this side where it adjoined residential, because that's the requirement.
No.
Just down to wherever his yard is going to work.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. But wherever the office stopped and the storage yard started, you would have a square,
right
around the equipment storage yard.
Right.
Okay. Would you please use your magic wand? Go back to the original one that we just had, please. That one. Okay. Draw where you think your 8-foot fence will go from there to there.
Section. About okay. To here, probably, because you're
right.
Going to get down to the
because it's
woods.
Not going to go into the timber.
Right.
Okay.
And then if this becomes the equipment yard, then you'll drop over here with 6 foot, here with 6 foot, and back across.
Right.
And then the office area will be left open with this parking lot, everything like
Got
that.
Got it.
Right.
So how do you say that?
What do you have so far?
So basically, this would be like the equipment yard here.
Yeah.
And that's what you want. But the whole length of this at eight foot.
Do you want it going all the way back to the very start?
I want it. What's that?
Do you want it just where the yard's going to be, or also back by the office.
This, I believe, has to go the whole length because it is
for
fence. So that was the question.
Anywhere that there's residential up against his property.
Okay, so basically the whole back.
With visual blockers.
The whole back section. That's what I want to make sure.
Down to the tree line.
Down to the tree line. But no, I was
because he has
more
the tree
line
as a buffer there.
Right. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
At a minimum of 8-foot fence around the equipment lot with visual blockers on the northeast residential side, and the rest of the yard a minimum of 6-foot fence.
Now, the minimum of the 8-foot fence is where his property touches residential property. That's the only qualifier, because that way I don't want him to have to build an 8-foot fence all the way around it, which is what.
So you want me to say where it touches residential?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that would
we all know what it means. It's just a matter of
getting
it in writing.
In the equipment yard, just plain chain link? I'm asking you didn't want visual block. You don't need. Okay, that's fine.
Because that's a security thing that
right.
you're dealing with.
Right.
Rather than
I just want to make sure that we didn't misunderstand and that you wanted that had slats in it too.
No, just the back.
Okay, good.
I'm fine with that.
All right, good.
No running of equipment between 11 p.m. and 5 a.m. And the fence, in as a whole, needs to be built 30 days from. I mean, we can give it a date because today's a decision of record by September 16th.
So even the security fence around the equipment, you want it built within 30 days.
Yeah,
you want the whole fence built.
Yep. I mean, it was already supposed to be built.
You want me to say within 30 days?
Yes.
Of August the
commission's the commission's decision, which is August the 16th.
Okay. Any further discussion?
That work?
Do we have a second?
I'll
Mr. Edwards has seconded. Okay, further discussion? Then I'll call the question. All those in favor of the motion as presented with the additional requirements, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Abstain.
Okay, and one abstention. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Alton. Happy building, and may the economy get better for all of us.
Thank you.
Okay. Let's move on to concepts. Under concept, I have Sunset Hills lot split. And then I have Tri-Lakes Motors. And then I have Alsop Vacation Cabin. And you all are here to represent... Okay, and Tri-Lakes Motors or the Vacation Cabin. Okay. Okay, so what about Tri-Lakes Motors?
He called and said that he was running a little late. So,
okay, so he may show up.
He might be a little later than he wants.
We'll check with our sales manager and see.
Okay. Okay, Mr. West, is that correct? Okay, if you'll come forward, please, and tell us what project, where, and what you have in mind.
Mr. West has some property over in Foster. It is in the county. And what he's got is he's on several pieces of property down in there. And one of these, he has a business that caters to the drilling industry, if I remember correctly.
Right.
And it's not a real intensive business or anything like that. But
I guess what I'm trying to do is get my affairs in order here.
Okay.
And I was real quick going to show you this, but Highway 165, Sunset, and everything, and of course this being the property there, you have a larger dam. This would be the business out front, and I believe a residential structure here, and you have the... But what you've got in front of you is the actual survey of what... Bring up that next one, Dan. And what he's actually looking to do is to split this lot off here so that the business kind of stands alone. The requirements in that area are going to be 8,000 square foot, you know, right down the line, 70 foot of frontage, all that stuff like that.
This lot also has to meet those requirements. So on this plat, you see there's a 75-foot. It kind of comes down and splits this off so that everything meets the requirements. He's going to give us the additional road frontage here that we need. So
he's, Mr. West, you're basically trying to separate the business function from the residential use of the land. Okay.
So sometime down the road, if they want to sell, right. business, sell it or separate. Sell the house, right. which after I'm gone,
okay. Okay, and the business that is in that now is?
Gemco Products Incorporated.
I'm sorry?
Gemco Products Incorporated. We sell drilling supplies.
Okay. Okay. And, Dan, would you go back to the overview so I can figure out where this is?
If you'll, this is Highway 165, and this is that church that's right on the corner. You know, okay. 165 used to go right. all the way up, right. 265. But the McDonald's and everything back down in here.
Uh-huh.
So if you take the road past C of O and come up, you know, 165, uh-huh. or come up behind here to Highway 165, now you take a ride. And this would take you down by the State Park Marina to go far enough. But right here is the church there. And then you have some businesses right down here. Used to be the WB or whatever, you know. Yeah. That, you know, and then of course the street came in here.
Okay.
This
area
is a dead end.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I can't imagine. There are no neighbors close by?
Looks. Yeah, we've got.
Yes. Mr. West owned this. I don't believe you own this now.
No, I sold it.
He owned this and sold it and everything. This business has been here a long time. And so. Everybody that's in this area knows that this business is here.
Okay.
Is it?
I think it was here before us.
But what happens when we do a lot split?
As far as?
The business.
I just want to make sure we're covering our bases.
Yeah, we've talked to him about parking and everything. We're going to make sure that it meets the standards to have the business there. We've not... In the past, when we've done something like this, like we've not made the business come back in for approval from us.
So even though we're splitting that lot off and it includes a business?
Right. We're making him come up to the standards, and it's going
to... But he has to come up to the standards.
Right. He's going to have to have... We've talked to him about parking. We've talked to him about minimum standards and things like that. So he does come up to that, but we've not actually made the business come through the Division 3 process. I suppose if you want to hear that, you could do it at the same time because he is going through the Division 3 process.
Well, I just wanted to make sure that we, whatever he's trying to get in order, we get it all in order
right.
for him.
Right.
Well, that's all.
What about the sewer?
I believe that is on
the
Hollister. It is. That's why he can go down to 8,000 square foot. I wasn't sure if it was the county or Hollister, but I knew it was a centralized sewer system and everything like that. Otherwise, we never would have brought him before you for this because that would have been an absolute policy that would be violated. So,
does it have a separate hookup for the business and for the home?
Beg pardon?
Is there a separate hookup for the business and the home?
No, there's one tank. They approved to put in this one tank.
So it probably goes into the tank and then pumps in low pressure into the sewer, which may be something you want to address or.
I mean, how are you going to do that if they sell one and not the other? I mean, they're going to have separate connections.
And that's what we. What he should do is go. You can make ask him to go to Hollister before we go to public hearing, or whoever's running that sewer system, and see what the deal is and what goes on.
Yeah, because look at it. If one would sell and the other wouldn't, you know, they would obviously have to have separate.
Yeah, and if there's any maintenance that's required on it, how that.
I mean, that's the same thing with water.
Yes.
All your utilities, really.
Well, the water comes from a. In fact, I put it in
a common well
there 23 years ago. Right now we have actually four places on.
Okay, so you've got a well that you share with, and this new lot would be under part of that agreement.
Right.
And you might want to see that
agreement.
Yep.
Yeah.
So.
Well, whatever it's for verbal, really. I mean, it's just there's four of us up there, and we divide up the cost of the four.
But you now would make it five.
No.
Even though you'd have two shares.
Potentially could be five.
I mean, it could be five, though. Even though you would have two of the shares.
So that's an issue you may want to have him to have some kind of an agreement or something when he comes back to public hearing.
You know, that will make a difference on, I mean, that if you end up splitting that into five shares, that's up to you, but it'll now it's 20% each instead of 25%. I mean, just not a big deal probably, but still. will make a difference.
And you mentioned all utilities, electricity?
Electricity has its own meter.
Separate billing for the business versus the home. Okay, so that's not a problem.
Sounds like just maybe the sewer and the water is an issue that you want cleared out there.
Okay.
It is.
Okay.
And I'll need those plats back when you're done.
And you have checked with Benita in terms of how to notify people, and the next time we see you will be the second Monday in September.
September 16th.
Is that after Labor Day?
Yes.
Or is that Labor Day?
No, Labor Day is the 4th.
Okay.
We don't work on Labor Day.
Okay.
You and me show up.
Yeah, I know. I know. Okay. So we'll see you then.
If you have any questions, give us a call.
Right.
Hold on. Let's don't want
to Okay. Well, let's move on then to vacation cabin, and we'll kind of side schedule Trilinx Motors.
Let me take an opportunity here to present this to you just a little bit. This is one of your favorite topics, and I've just discussed it with some of you before. This is a request for a rental. This is down on Riverside Drive, and you remember 2 years ago when we had all our flooding issues and everything. On both sides of this particular house, they flooded, and they flooded heavy. This one didn't get anything in it, just in the crawl space and everything at that particular time. It sets up just a little bit higher. This is a piece of property on Foggy River Road. It sets right in here. It is a large piece of property. Then we're going to bring it to the next one there. The house sets right in the middle, has direct access to the lake. And the neat thing about this, can you go to the next one, Dan? Is this is the cabin there. This cabin used to belong, I believe, to Mr. Johnny Morris, if I'm not mistaken. And around this cabin is a wall, all the way around it, and everything like that. And then there's
it's like a concrete wall, isn't it?
Yes.
Something like how
tall
is it?
Black and stucco.
And it's like probably three.
Yeah, it's pretty tall.
There, it's a little over 3 acres out there.
It is only 1.78 acres.
Okay, 1.78 acres. And this is something. Pardon.
1.78.
1.78 acres. Yes. The request is to use this as a nightly rental. This is in the floodway, which means no substantial construction, no add-ons, nothing like that can be done, and it's without a tremendous amount of work. And remember what we went through with Ms. Frazier further on down the street, just so she could get a lot that would be buildable. So this sits there. Has ample off-site parking, everything like that, but it is coming to you as a special use permit, as a request for a nightly rental. Of course, as you get into this, you'll have your questions about who does what, when, about parking and access and everything like that. But as I've discussed with some of you, just the very nature of this property does take away some of the issues about parking on the street and things like that. But you still have your other questions that you need to ask. So that's where it's at. Somewhat limited with this property, what can be done with it. But, we've had complaints about people walking through other people's yards to get to the lake and things like that. This one has direct lake access. So some of the problems do go away with this. But anyway.
And that's the property.
That is the property, yes, ma'am. The house is in the middle.
I've seen it from the backside a lot.
Yeah. And then, actually, there's two buildings on here. There's this cabin, and it's not really, you wouldn't walk into it and think it's a single-family home, I don't think. I've not really been inside. I've just looked through the windows when it was flooded down in that area and everything. But then there's also a living area above in the garage, kind of like an efficiency apartment. But I'll let him tell you the rest of it. I just wanted to let you know where it was. And it's kind of a unique property in that area in that it is gated. And it is walled. It does have a wall all the way around it. So, pretty neat property.
Okay, Mr. Olson.
Yes.
Welcome to Taney County.
Thank you.
From Washington, Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever been to a planning and zoning meeting in Washington?
Yes, I have.
So how do?
Never mind. Don't
I'm not that asking.
You not don't open there. That can of worms. Yeah.
Okay.
The reason I'm here is. My neighbors turned me in, and really, I'm not trying to get away with anything. I didn't even know I needed a special use permit. It was always it was built for, it's like two efficiency apartments in there. That's the way it was built, and that's the way it's always been used. And it's been, I'm the fourth owner, I think. Everybody's used it for that purpose that I'm aware of. And my neighbors, I let them come and go, and I use it like a little park for them, you know. And the one neighbor, I guess, didn't like that there was people over there. So he decided, you know, well, there's somebody over on my private park, so I'm going to turn them in. So, they, you know, neighbors, they own everything they can see. Mm-hmm. And that's so that's why I'm here. But I'm willing to do whatever it takes to get this, you know, the way it's, you know, whatever I have to do to approve, get it approved. And the property is heavily wooded all the way around the property line. It's got a wall surrounding it. The wall also goes around my neighbor's property that is Gary McSpadden's. And let's see. Yeah, it joins up to Lake Kennecomo, has a private dock.
Yeah, this is McSpadden's property here.
That's right. But the wall goes all the way around that.
Okay. I knew there was a fence around his also, but I didn't.
Is your intention to, I mean, is the wall in good shape?
Mm-hmm.
Is the intention to, because the wall's a pretty big selling point, at least for me.
Right.
The intention is to keep the wall there.
That's true. Yes, yes, of course.
So but if there's not one between you and the neighbor.
No, there's not. Just
not
a chain
there's
link
not
fence.
One here.
There, that's just a chain link fence.
Okay.
And I guess if he wants to complain, he can complain at the public hearing. But I don't think he will. But, you know, that's always, it's what it's always been used for. Eddie asked me to talk to Jim Single, the fire marshal, which I did, and he informed me that no inspection is required. But since then, I did, you know, check out, you know, replace the smoke detectors, they were old, and the fire extinguishers. And I got a guy, Dave Welch, he's a local fishing guide, a friend of mine, and he's always looking for something else to do because the economy's not that good for him or anybody else that I know. So he keeps it clean for me, and, you know, any emergency, his name is posted there on refrigerators. It has like two kitchens, you know, and in the middle is like a little hallway with a stone floor, and it's set up pretty neat, but it's not very big, you know.
How many people?
I have it advertised right now on Home Away, and which is a service you subscribe to. And I've rented out like five times. And I'm putting a maximum of 9 people, but there's all kinds of parking, and you know, there's beds that fold out. It's just the way it was set up when I bought it. I haven't really done anything to it.
So there are 4 bedrooms or whatever you call.
No, there's only 2 bedrooms, but the you know some beds.
Nine very close people.
That's families. That's my target group is family. You know.
Okay.
Somebody wants to rent it out for the weekend or New Year's Eve, you know, for one night, I don't do that.
So you said there are 2 efficiency apartments adjacent to each other. So a door between the two units?
There's a middle area. When you walk, you first walk into this middle, it's like a big living room. It's, and, you know, there's a big screen TV and some couches, and one of those couches fold out into a bed also. But then there's, on either side of that, there's a kitchen. It's just one big room, kitchen, bathroom, living room. It's set up for just kind of to sleep there, really. I mean, okay. It's not. I mean, but and on the back it has a on the back of the house towards the lake it has a big stone patio. It's huge. On the front of the house, where my neighbor, the one that's complaining, there's nothing to do there. There's absolutely. I mean. There would be no reason to sit on the front of the house. And people don't do that.
Sure. Eddie, I guess my concern is the nightly rental category, but we really don't have another kind of way to deal with this, do we?
Now, you remember a couple years ago we set up this category to deal with this because our code book states that anything that is rented out on less than a 30-day basis falls into the nightly rental program. Whether it's rented or available to be rented, and at the time that we had discussed this, this was available to be rented. He wasn't making any money with it or anything at that time. Unfortunately, that does come in as a special use, and we have, I believe, like 6 or 7 different requirements, and I've gone over that with Mr. Alsop.
So he understands that he would sell it.
Right, he understands.
That would go away. He wouldn't really sell it. And the realtor sell it as because, as he may have already told you, we have a lot of these, and when they come up, when people let us know about them,
and we've got to start the process over again. That's understood. Yeah.
So, if you chose to sell it to somebody, we would hope that you would disclose to them, this is what I'm doing with it. If you want to do that, you would have to see the board to do that again. The way we are currently doing planning and zoning, that's what the special use would do.
And make sure your realtor knows if you put it on a realtor. Mm-hmm. He can't. He really shouldn't sell it as a nightly rental.
As a nightly, that's right.
Good point.
Mm-hmm. But it is one of those situations, okay, too, where he understands that he could probably go in and do some interior remodeling, because we don't require a permit from that. But this cannot be added on to. It cannot be changed, footprint or anything like that on it. It's just not allowed.
The way it's set up right now, there's like two small closets that are probably 2 by 2, one on each side, 2 foot by 2 foot. There's no laundry room, no washer and dryer. So it was set up just for that use.
So
people most of the time they go down there and they're gone during the day because there's so many things to do around here, and then they come back and go to sleep, you know, or they fish, you know.
But, fish is not a kid. Stay away from there.
And length of rental varies from, are you renting it by the week, or are you renting it?
It is a three, right now I have a 3-day minimum.
I got a boat.
I'm thinking about a 5-day, but I'm trying to make it affordable. The people,
he tries.
Before me, they were trying to get like $500 a night out of it. I never rent them out separate, like $250 for one side and $250 for the other, which I thought was kind of silly. Mm-hmm. Right? Because the living room's in the middle, more or less. So they'd have to share that. So I'm not offering that. I want to rent the whole place, and I'm trying to get like $225 a night.
Okay. And you understand the further process of notifying neighbors, and that'll be interesting to see if the neighbors show up and how they feel about this.
I'm sure that at least one will.
Okay. So the next time...
I'm understanding that you're saying we can do that all night.
Nightly rental comes through as a special use. That is the category that we have set up for it. You could make it a full-blown commercial if you wanted to, but because of the residential nature of the neighborhood and everything like that, we created that special use, just like we would do. We have a section for bed and breakfast, and it has its own requirements about somebody living on site and everything like that, but we set up a separate one for nightly rental because we did at the time realize that somewhere down the line a property would probably come before us that we would be interested in approving, but we didn't want to change the residential nature of the neighborhood. Now, we've also talked to Mr. Alsop and told him we realize that there are covenants and restrictions a lot of times in neighborhoods. Whether they're valid or not valid, not our concern. Whether the neighbors will scream about them, we can almost guarantee, even if they haven't been in effect for 20 or 30 years, that's not our concern. However, he needs to understand, even though he gets approval from here, if there are those kind of things in the neighborhood, they can still make it a civil matter and take him to court over that.
But you don't see this being in conflict with our past decisions on nightly rental?
No, sir, I don't, because I believe we have to review each one of these on a case-by-case basis. In the past, we've had problem with nightly rentals, especially in one particular neighborhood, because the volume of people that came in with that, it was clogged the streets, there were safety issues, there were concerns with the neighbors with them walking through from one house to another, through another yard to get to the lake and things like that. As I mentioned to a couple of commissioners already, if we're going to have a provision in our code book, there has to be something down the line that fits that provision where we say yes. Just because we voted no on nightly rentals in the past, there should have been reasons we voted no. It's not adequate size-wise. There's safety issues. There's different kind of problems like that. Do I think these people are going to come out of the woodwork? I think some will. But I think if we really delved into it hard, we'd find several more nightly rentals down there already. I have not had a complaint against them. And when I do, they'll be standing where Mr. Alsop is standing. But I would bet you along that, not even on, even across the street, that there's other nightly rentals going on in there. And that'll probably come out in the public hearing. So you may see some more of these.
But if we're got, if we've got a criteria that says if you do these things and it's a good fit, it's a good fit, and we should okay that. Either that or we should pull everything out of our code book and say no nightly rentals across the board. We've made the provision that some places this fits and it's okay.
Well, and it's the nature of our area.
Right.
I mean, we're going to see some of this, and we ought to try to deal with it when it makes sense. We just haven't had one that makes sense.
I think that's been our issue. Most of the time they've tried to cram them into neighborhoods where they barely meet the side setbacks and things like that, and they have two to three car parking, and they bring in 9 to 10 cars and trailers and everything like that. And that's been an issue. That becomes a safety issue because they're parking on the streets and you can't get up and down through them.
Right. I do have another question for you. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have, are you part of the boat launch? Do you have, you know, the boat launch that's right down from you? And do your
the
people
neighborhood
know?
Is part of that. I'm not involved in that lawsuit or anything. I don't.
Well, no, but I mean, I don't know. I'm not talking about that, but that is not a public boat ramp. Are you going to make your folks aware of that, that they have to use a public boat ramp across the lake? There's not one on that side of the lake anywhere.
I think there's one owner. The guy next to it is claiming ownership, but that was given to by the developer, what is his name, Clay Cantwell, to the subdivision. And there's a lawsuit involved in that right now.
That's further than this one.
You're saying that Clay gave that
to the subdivision?
No, it's
I remember whenever Clay Cantwell.
Well, I'll ask Clay. I know Clay. I mean, he's a lawyer.
Right.
But my concern there is, if that's given to the subdivision, though, then there becomes a difference whenever you've got renters and they're using that private boat ramp. So what is your intention if they do have a boat for them to
launch? I haven't had any of those guys.
You will, though.
Yet.
You will.
Right.
You're going to have folks that want to fish.
Actually, in between those two buildings, that's where I put my boat in.
Really?
Right here.
You launch a boat there?
There's a gravel bar right there.
That's
okay,
why
but if the guy's got a 21-foot Ranger,
he's not going to put it in there because he won't.
That's what I'm saying. Like that's what I've got.
Yeah.
Okay, and I fish there all the
time. Oh, okay, Ranger. Oh, okay, bass boat. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, he ain't going to put it in right there where you do.
You could. I had a 20-foot, 8-foot wide John boat that I put in right there.
Okay. I just was curious if what your plans were to inform the folks that are renting from you.
I haven't informed them.
May I be from here? I know those people watch that ramp.
I didn't know they couldn't use it. This is the first time I've heard that nobody can use it.
Well, you might check with that before.
Yeah, I'm just saying you might check because that will just come back to haunt us.
Sean, is this Empire?
Yes.
Okay, let's move on and we'll see you the first meeting date in September.
Give us a call tomorrow.
Okay.
And we'll tell you exactly where you're headed.
It could be a can of worms, an interesting situation.
And we've had a long discussion. He realizes the
okay.
probability.
Okay, Mr. Tri-Lakes Motors, Mr. Williams, is that right?
Well, he couldn't make it, so I'm David Dixon.
Okay.
Real quick while he's coming, Tri-Lakes Motors has come to us a couple different times expanding. One time I brought it before you, and because they wanted to add the RV repair shop out there, we did it administratively, went ahead and issued a Division 2 permit. Recently they came to us and wanted to actually add on to another building that was out there, which was okay, so we did that also. We've been searching for quite a while trying to find a Division 3 on Tri-Lakes Motors and cannot come up with one anywhere. And we know that in the future they're going to want to expand some more. So we asked them if they would mind going ahead and coming through so that we'll have a record of Tri-Lakes. Now, they're not coming through expecting for you to say, no, you can't have Tri-Lakes out there and remove it. It's an existing business and everything like that. But we would like to have the opportunity when they want to add on to be able to reference a Division 3 and know that this business is solid and y'all know what's going on up there. So that's basically what's going on at our request. They're bringing it through so that we'll have a Division 3 record.
But his request talks about proposed building, future
right, we
proposed
asked him
building.
To,
so
with,
he's going to do some
expansion, yes.
speculation as part of that.
Right, to ask for a few more buildings so you would kind of know. And then when they got ready, they could come to us.
But would you think that will be within the next 3 years just from the permitting process or 4 years? That's the thing.
I mean,
what happens if they don't do anything within 4 years.
Normally, because we're looking at the whole project, normally when they get their project 50% of infrastructure and everything done, then they no longer have to renew their Division 3.
So then now, so with
so
the current
it's gonna
stuff,
be, it's going to be enough, but we told them to go ahead and ask for the extra building so that when they do get ready to do
if
it,
if they happen to do it in the next 4 years.
Right, and we won't have to do anything like that. But the project is basically already all the infrastructure and everything's there, and most of it's built. But we just wanted to make sure that we had a record that we could go back to, because we're starting to see a lot of litigation on a lot of things. And when we go back to pull some of these records up, we don't have anything.
Well, anyone this built, part of this built before we had planning and zoning?
No. Well, I don't think it was before we had planning and zoning. I believe it was built in 89, I think, Dan, and everything. Benita seemed to think that it had come through, but we can't find any records on it anywhere. So that's all we're trying to do is just establish. They're gonna say in the future we're going to want to expand a couple more buildings. We just wanted to have the right to say, okay.
So that's actually a 99-year lease.
Huh?
This is a 99-year lease.
Yeah. It's actually under a 99-year lease.
Okay. So, Mr. Dixon, I guess you've heard it all here, and you're really here at the commission's request, then.
Right.
And you know what information you have to obtain under the guidance from Eddie.
He probably.
Well, I know we went through this when we did the RV building.
Right.
And the one they're looking at doing in the spring is the add-on to the body shop. Okay. And the other two, I think, like you're saying, is for, they're saying, the next 3 or 4 years is down the road.
The add-on, we didn't feel like we had any problem with because it's just an extension of another building. It meets all the setbacks and things. But as they want to add more buildings, we just didn't have anything to base any kind of decision on. And we didn't want them to have to come before you again and again and again and again. So we just wanted to go ahead and get this kind of done at one shot.
Okay. So we'll see you in September then. Or somebody representing Tri Lakes Motors. Okay.
He's got hard in Springfield coming up for that. You need to explain to him if you didn't show up. Somebody had to do it next month.
Well, I'm going to
explain it to you.
Okay, let's move on because you did have some old and new business.
Yeah, I've got some old and new business I need to talk to you about. Okay. It appears that the timeshares condominiums out of Big Cedar and out of Paradise Point, all of that they own out there, I believe Red Rock Bluff and all of that was part of it, is going to be sold off to Blue Green. It's actually going to be a separate entity from... right now it's Blue Green Big Cedar, but it will become total Blue Green, including Paradise Point. They have the right at all these places for timeshare sales, nightly rentals. You know, they have their own site management and everything like that. The attorney for representing Blue Green is Brian Wade. And Brian Wade has asked me several questions about this project and about the timeshares and everything like that. And he wanted me to, and Bob Paulson also, after they've talked, they wanted me to run by you that when this sells, the right to continue their nightly rentals and timeshares and everything would transfer with that. I told them it would. They wanted to make sure that we had it mentioned in a meeting here and see if y'all were of a different opinion or if y'all were in agreement that that was what was approved and so it would continue on regardless of the owner because we approved that as a project and everything. He'll want a letter to that effect from me, but I told him I would run it by you and...
Yeah, that's what we did.
And you're
before.
Talking about Paradise
as long
Point.
As no changes in the footprint, right?
Right. This would be Paradise Point.
Purchased by
Blue Green Big Blue Cedar. Green. As also the right now out at Big Cedar Lodge, you have those condominium buildings.
Right.
And they're 50-50 venture, I think, with Blue Green Big Cedar and Big Cedar. Also, I believe Blue Green Big Cedar bought Red Rock Bluff, which was out there. With the marina out there, when you go down 86 before you get to the bridge off to the left, it was Gage, out near Gage's Marina,
yeah,
and everything.
Oh, they bought the condos around.
Right, remember they right came through. The MPI came through and was building that.
Yeah,
now
there's some out there.
Right, yeah, and then Big Cedar
really
bought
nice
that. They demolished that neighborhood that was out there, and built that, and they still have. Under their original plan, they still have more buildings they can build. As they have more buildings they can build out at Paradise Point, everything, but involved with all of that, they just want to make sure that we're going to honor, it's a transfer, and I told them we would.
I don't know why we wouldn't. I mean, that's what
they're going to they want me to.
As long as they're not changing the agreement, neither
no,
are we.
They would. Right? They will build up to the maximum that we have permitted, and that's what we follow through our Division II. But it takes in three different projects and everything, and they wanted to make sure that they could continue on with the Division III's that were issued originally.
So why not?
Okay, and then you had some
so
more.
So you're okay with that?
Sure.
I'll write a letter to that effect then. Bring up the poverty point, Dan. The lot split.
He wants to get to the fire.
This one here. This is it. I had a gentleman call me today down on Poverty Point. This used to be two lots. I don't know when the houses were built. I don't know if they've always been built there, but somehow these two lots became under the same owner. That owner decided he only wanted one parcel. I haven't had the time to research, so I don't know when it happened or anything like that. So he got this combined, these two parcels combined into one parcel. Now they're wanting to sell one of these houses off, so they need to split it back into two parcels. They tell me they can meet the lot size requirements and the setbacks and everything like that. Okay, this is a platted subdivision. And I can probably go and pull the original plat and find that this was platted as two lots. I haven't done that yet, I'm just telling you. My question is this. Since this was two lots before, if they can split them up to where it meets the requirements and setbacks and everything like that, do you want to hear this for a lot split? Or do you want to revert back? I mean, there's always a twist on this. If this was anything else, if it never had been two lots, I wouldn't even have brought it to you because we're going to hear it.
Are those three separate residences?
It's this house here and this house here.
Okay, and what's that, a garage?
That's a garage, I believe. I haven't been out there to look.
And so you don't know where the lot split would be?
I don't know where it was. I told them what the minimums were required as far as frontage and lot size and setbacks and everything like that.
See, it's on sewer now, so the setbacks and everything changed.
Well, there's lot sizes.
But when this was platted originally, it was platted as two lots, is what I'm told. And of course, they were legal at the time. I don't know if it had to do with taxes as the reason why they couldn't be. I don't know. I'm just saying,
okay,
if this was originally platted as two lots.
But what about the one house that looks like it has some setback problems?
Well, you can't go by these. These lines can be off as much as 30 feet.
Let's hope that they are.
If they've got setback issues, we're not splitting anything. They've got to meet setbacks.
I so much don't want to hear that. Okay. Just because of where it is, but
I think we have. That's fine. I told him. I said normally this has to come through, and that's fine with me. I just assume y'all make the decision as me.
Don't you?
The women.
It's going to give them something to do.
And the only reason I bring that to you is because it used to be two lots.
Well, if you had more information, then the answer.
I didn't find
change out
the fourth. The
yeah, but I know what I'm saying is you want to let it.
It's
well, I would go ahead and set the guy up to come in for
meeting?
Concept. And then at concept, if y'all want to choose to let it slide, then that's your call. I think they've got a buyer, and so they need to get headed. He said it's not that big a rush. But I told him I would ask tonight, but we've been advised that we probably should hear just about everything. Yeah. But it just had a little bit of a twist on it.
I think it's one lot now.
It is.
I'm not so sure that it should make. I think we should hear it.
Okay, not a problem.
I do. I mean, it's one lot now. That might make a difference.
I agree. On the one hand, we say we decreased density, and now we're going back to the original density, but what we are doing is we're increasing density in the subdivision as it sits now.
In my opinion, it would help. If it used to be two lots, that will help him out on the decision, but I still think we should
hear it.
And like I say, I just haven't had time to research it at all.
Okay, and yet you had a couple of other things to
report. I do have a couple of other things. Most of you got to see the pictures. By now, you're probably aware that the big house out at the Cedar Creek Air Park burned.
Did you know that?
Some people didn't realize that, but... it has. This house has been tried to be sold several different times and everything like that. But evidently there was an explosion in the basement, and basically it, there's nothing left of that house.
Remember when the little man and his young wife...
Mr. Grinley. Yeah.
Mr. Grinley was terribly concerned that we were impeding the development of the airport and therefore in limiting his availability of money that was going to be paid for his house. Is this the house that he...
Mr. Grinley was in my office about 3 months ago, 4 months ago, he was concerned about his money, and he was going to have part of the airport deeded back to him so that he would have collateral because he's still at that particular time and not been paid. I do not know. We don't get into the financial arrangements and everything like that out there.
But was this house occupied?
This was a house that had been remodeled, and I believe the Warners were living in it for a time, and then they had moved down to the house at the Brass Lantern. Pardon me, Brass Lantern Resort, I believe, is where they were. So at this particular time, I don't know that anybody was actually living in it. I just don't know.
Okay. There were some broken windows the day that we drove, that you took me out in the boonies out there to look at that. There were several windows missing.
Attorney shooting gone?
Okay. So it was not occupied. No. Not occupied at that time.
But there had been quite a bit of extensive work.
But the ownership of this property is whose?
The last time I checked, the ownership of this property was the Warners.
Okay. And my question is, because their financial situation is so tenuous at best, how will this impact?
If you remember a few weeks ago, I had a meeting with the commission on a Thursday morning because Ms. Warner had brought a plat in and was telling the commissioners I wouldn't sign it. It was holding up the sale of this house. At that particular time, they hired Eddie Wolf to do this and to go through everything. And since that time, Ms. Warner has hired Eddie Wolf as her surveyor. We've been in touch with DNR and some different things like that. What we found when Eddie Wolf evaluated everything was that this previous surveyor was drawing us pictures and that we wanted to see, but the legal descriptions didn't match the pictures. So we were signing the plats based on what we saw. And so you remember in this minor subdivision we did, the leftover parent lot was supposed to be a couple hundred acres. Well, in actuality, he'd split that down into, I don't remember, it seemed like 14, 15 acres and some. So with the help of Eddie Wolf, we went through and we did a few things and we've got this thing to the place right now. Until DNR does their subdivision analysis on this place, nothing else can be platted. I mean, because DNR may come in and say, while you are going to use 2 acre lots and everything like that, that's not going to be sufficient. So DNR may come in and set lot sizes and say, the minimum lot size we're going to allow is 5 acres or 3 acres or whatever the case might be. Of course, it won't drop below 2. If they came in and said, you know, you can have 1 acre lots, well, they might allow it, but we're not going to. But they may set the lots higher, so there's going to be some fighting. But at that particular time, she was trying to get this lot split off so this house could be sold. When we finally finished that up and got the plat ready to go and gave it to her, she said that at that particular time the deal wasn't finalized or that deal had kind of fallen through, but she thought she might be able to get that deal back in place. I don't think, Dan, I don't know if you looked at that parcel today or not or anything, but I don't think it's changed hands, as last I heard. I don't think it has. So I believe it's still hers. I don't know what their, again, I don't get into their cash flow situation or anything like that. That's not my concern.
I understand that.
I don't know how.
That's such a wiggly project.
Yes, ma'am.
And that's being kind, Sarah.
But, you know, I've heard some different rumors about different things. About new partners and new influx of capital and stuff like that, but it's just rumors. So
Ray's
I don't know.
Bottle. So he's got bottle. Okay,
well, tragic.
It
fire.
Is. Ray's
got
it is. That was a neat house.
Okay.
And last. Oh yeah, there's something I'm supposed to say about Trophy Run. I'll mention to you. I got to do two more things to you real quick. If you remember Trophy Run, North Point Development, Greg Wynn.
Mm-hmm.
Down by the dam. As everybody is running into hassle with condominiums right now, trying to sell those and everything like that, they have come back to us and ask if they could
change their project to where they're actually selling single-family residential structures.
Is that the old campground?
It was the old campground, and they were going to be selling, it was condominium style of ownership, and it was going to be single freestanding units, homes, basically. To me, that's a lesser density use. It requires wider streets. It requires, you know, standard-sized lots, everything like that. They are on public sewer, and they are on water and everything like that. So he just have to plat his lot sizes into 8,000 square feet lots if he wanted to do that. So our code book allows us to go to a lesser density use, which is what would happen there. I do not know what he would do with his high-rise buildings.
Yeah.
And since we looked at that as a total project, there's some issues
all
there.
That time.
That was the height thing.
So yes, it was. So what we basically asked him to do is to drop the plan and show it to us, so we can see what it is.
I would be interested if he's going to then vacate that.
Well, and that was my thinking, that we probably need to vacate. If you're going to do this, we vacate. You know, you tell me that your old project is no longer valid, and then you go this way. But
my understanding, it was only the single unit condos that were like cabins. I think it's something like 200 of them.
Yes. And then up on the top, it was going to be the high-rise buildings. So he may be wanting to hang on to the high-rise buildings and do single-family down at the bottom.
He was only wanting to change the single-unit condominiums.
Have they been in for a renewal?
Which would then no longer be a condominium style.
I believe they were. They've got one due now, if I'm not mistaken, pretty close. But yes, they have been in for a renewal.
Okay.
So, I mean, they're valid right now still. But if it's going to be an issue as far as, you know, now we're going to change this to single family, and this is going to be, we want to hang on to this, and then we can tell them you're going to have to come back to change your project that much. But first, I just need to see a drawing of what they're proposing. But they are looking to do something like that. And then lastly, put a stop work order on the Highway 165 quarry today. I sent an email to the commissioners telling them that was our direction, that had come from this board, and that you had talked about Paulson, and asked, because they always want to know if we're going to put a stop work order on anything, because they get phone calls on it. Didn't hear anything. I sent it last Wednesday, I believe it was, and didn't hear anything. So today I called up to see what was going on, and talked to Mr. Pendle. Mr. Pendle stated that they had, as a commission, had discussed this in executive session and had decided that they would stay out of this and let P&Z chase it as they felt necessary. So we do have that in place, and we will be proceeding on. We'll let you know as we go step by step.
He just moved the target.
Has DNR also been notified that we've put a stop?
They will get a letter from us tomorrow, and I will call Mr. Larson at that particular time. There's a few more little things that have to happen first, and Mr. Shaver will not get his letter for another couple days. The sign is up on the property, and the letter goes out the same day the sign goes up.
Is there activity on that property?
There was a little bit. It looked pretty bare and everything, but we did see one piece of equipment out moving like pea gravel around from maybe where they blasted to another site.
They were probably building that drainage pond.
So maybe. So anyway, that's moving forward, and of course that'll be done under the guidance of Mr. Paulson, and we'll keep you advised as to what's happening there. My guess is we will talk to Mr. Larson tomorrow, and then get some guidance from there as far as what's going on. That's what we have for you.
Sometimes planning and zoning is much better than television.
Isn't that the truth?
Isn't it amazing? Okay. Anything else good for the order? If not, entertain a motion to adjourn.
I made all the motions last time.
Okay. I'm going to adjourn.
I'll make that one.
Meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We will see you next month.
But Sean, you're so good at it.
Oh, yeah. Benita loves when I make motions. She's like,
oh, before you leave.
I know.
I have.